Good morning. We've been having a little bit of cool weather. Kind of a nice change, if you ask me. So, Super Bowl today, there's that. Somebody will win, somebody will lose. That's my prediction. And then there, and not that it's not important. Man, we make a big thing out of some things, don't we? I mean, in the end, it is just a game, right? And so I'm not passionate about watching sports. I love to play sports, like hunting or vehicles. Sometimes I have to remember those things are, they're just things too. You know, they're going to pass away. And then there's stuff that's eternal, that will last forever. And those are the things that we need to focus on. And, of course, that's what we're going to do in this next bit of time. And even when we talk about the Super Bowl, we're talking about, well, how can we use that? It's something that grabs the attention of the world. How can we use that to get the attention of some people? So hopefully you're going to a life group tonight, and maybe your life group's going to watch the Super Bowl game. And the purpose of buying those videos is so you can invite a lost person who may know everything about all of the NFL and all the Super Bowl games, but if they die tomorrow, they would spend an eternity apart from Jesus because they don't know him. They've not entered into a saving relationship with him. But we've got videos that you can show where these guys that are playing in the game today are sharing their testimony, their faith in Jesus. Wouldn't that be cool if somebody came to faith in Christ? And then whether a team wins, it doesn't matter, your team won if somebody comes to faith in Christ. Amen? And that's what it's about. So, but you know, focusing on what's most important. So as we start into the message this morning, I want to ask you if you would take a journey with me. You can stay seated because it's not like a physical trip. It's going to be a trip back in time, a trip down memory lane. And for some, it may be just a few months back. For others, it may be years. You'll have to travel back and think back. But in just a moment, I'm going to ask you to remember a specific time in your life. And then I'm going to read some lyrics from a song by Phil Wickman. And then I'm going to call you to remember a little bit more. And I'm going to read some more song lyrics, if that's making sense to you. And you'll see. We're just going to ask some questions. We're going to remember. Then I'm going to read some lyrics from the song, and want you to be able to turn it over in your thinking, in your heart. Take a trip with Jesus in your thoughts and in your heart. Sometimes when we do something like this, which is not real often, I personally find it helpful to close my eyes so I can just reflect. So I want to invite you for just a moment, if you want to close your eyes. I'm going to ask you a question. Just have a few minutes of reflection. We'll take this little trip down memory lane. So do you remember? Do you remember where you were or how old you were when you came to Jesus? Do you remember where you were? How old you were when you came to Jesus? Do you remember that moment? And as you remember that moment, I want to read these lyrics from this song by Phil Wickman. How great the chasm that lay between us. How high the mountain I could not climb. In desperation, I turned to heaven and spoke your name into the night. Do you remember where you were, how old you were? How long ago was it when you came to Jesus? Where was it when you said, Jesus, please forgive me, save me? You weren't trusting in yourself, your works. You weren't trusting in religion. You came to Jesus and you asked for forgiveness. It may have been daylight outside, but there was darkness in your heart because of sin. But then you spoke his name into that night. Keep remembering that time. Here's some more lyrics. Then through the darkness, his loving kindness tore through the shadows of your soul. The work is finished. The end is written. Jesus Christ, my living hope. Who could imagine so great a mercy? What heart could fathom such boundless grace? The God of ages stepped down from glory to wear my sin and bear my shame. Where were you when he saved you, washed you clean, made you new, a brand new creation? as we continue to reflect. You remember that time when you first came to Christ. What about since that time? As you think back, when was the last time you realized, I'm really not trusting Him? I'm really not walking with Him, and the newness has been stripped away. That feeling of cleanliness is gone, and clarity is diminished, and confusion is high. Do you remember a time like that? And did you come back to the cross? When was the most recent time, and where were you? Was it just last year, last month, last night? Maybe right now that you realize, I've been tarnished, I've been diminished, I've been away from the Lord. Well, friend, that's not our destiny. That's not the life He has for us. We can get stuck there, but we don't have to stay there. We can get stuck there, but we don't have to stay there. In any moment, we can turn away from there and turn towards Him. We can turn away from there and speak His name into that night. I want to read you some more lyrics as you reflect. In desperation, I turned to heaven and spoke your name into the night. The cross has spoken. I am forgiven. The King of Kings calls me His own. Beautiful Savior, I'm yours forever. Jesus Christ, my living hope. Hallelujah. Praise the one who set me free. Hallelujah. Death has lost its grip on me. You have broken every chain. There's salvation in your name. Jesus Christ, my living hope. If a voice in your head tells you that when you came to Christ, it's not that simple, or when you came to that point of renewal, it's not that simple, things can't change just like that. Well, let me tell you, that's not the voice of the one who saved you in the very second that you spoke His name. That's not the voice of the one who cleansed you and gave you a brand new life. We don't earn our salvation. We don't earn our renewal any more than we earn a new life. We don't earn it. He paid for it for us. We receive it by faith in the work of Jesus, by faith in the blood of Jesus. We receive it by faith, and then we must walk in it and hold on to it. Don't believe the lie of the enemy, because a turning point happens in just one moment. Okay, if you would join me, we're on a journey this morning. We're going to come into the Scriptures in just a minute, but we want to talk about, and we've thought about before the Lord, what it means to be born again, what it means to be cleansed and forgiven. Also what it means to need to come back to a time of renewal. Because there's nobody here this morning that doesn't sin. There's nobody here that doesn't get away from the Lord. You know, it's just a matter of how long do we stay away? And do we acknowledge our sin? Do we repent and come back right away? Sometimes we do. Other times we just stay in a diminished state of living, really. We're living like a half life. We know the Lord, but we're kind of still stumbling through because we're compromised in our life. And the church at Corinth, they struggle with that. Matter of fact, just last week, Brother Joe Carter had us in 1 Corinthians, the first half of 1 Corinthians chapter 6. People fighting in the church, taking each other to court, suing one another. And I'm going to kind of paraphrase it, but God, through the Apostle Paul, kind of goes, hey, you're doing wrong to each other. You're cheating each other. You're abusing one another. There's division and mess in the church. And hey, that's not the kind of people that God's taking to heaven. Is He taking those messed up people to heaven? Yes, they're His. But that's not where He wants them to be. And that's not what it's going to be like in heaven. So He's like waving His hand. He's saying, hey, you used to be just like the people of the world, but you guys, you gals, you've been washed. These are born again people. 1 Corinthians. These are saved people. If you need to review it, or maybe you weren't with us when we started, you can go back online and you can catch different messages. But just go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and read about how God talks about the people of the church at Corinth. They're His people. It's like, hey, you guys and gals, you are washed, you are sanctified, set apart. You got a clean slate. You are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. God Almighty came down and rescued you. You spoke His name into the night. Right? And Jesus said, you're forgiven. You're born again. You have new life. He forgave you, cleansed you, and set you free. This is what He's saying to the church at Corinth, but you've gone backwards. You've gone backwards. But you don't have to stay there. Amen? Thank God. You don't have to stay there. Just like us, we can go backwards, but we can also go forward because of the blood of Jesus. It is a battle. Amen? So I want to ask you to close your eyes, bow your heads. We're going to pray for just a moment. So just one more time with our eyes closed, our heads bowed. Father God, as we bow before you, it is a battle. And God, sometimes we do go backwards. Sometimes we do return to old ways and old patterns. And we ask you to forgive us where we sometimes stop trusting you and we start doing things our way. Forgive us, Lord. It's a sin. We repent. We don't want to do things our way. We want to do things your way. We want to walk into a brand new day with you. And so we just lay at your feet. Maybe you're touching each of our hearts individually about some things that we just need to say, hey, I've been wrong. I've been like the church in Corinth in this way or in that way. I haven't been trusting you. I've been trying to work things out my way and manipulating or not being honest or whatever it is. And we just ask you to forgive us in this moment, Jesus, and set us free from bondage to sin and set us free to live the life that you've called us to live, trusting you in everything. Thank you for forgiving us, and thank you for fresh starts. Thank you for a new beginning. And Lord, we just ask you to speak to us through your word this morning. Amen. I love the lyrics from that song by Phil Wickman. Hallelujah, praise the one who set me free. Hallelujah, death has lost its grip on me. You have broken every chain. There's salvation in your name, Jesus Christ, my living hope. So we're in this series, Messy Church, Merciful God. Messy Church, Merciful God. And church is made up of what? Brick people, right? Not bricks and mortar. This isn't the church. And people say, oh, where do you go to church? You know, it's semantics, but the reality is we don't go to church. We are the church. When we go our separate ways after we gather on Sunday morning, the church doesn't stop to be. Actually, the church has been deployed into the world. Amen? And then we'll come back together at our life group. If your life group meets tonight for, you know, Super Bowl Sunday, we'll come back together with a purpose in mind. Right? There's fellowship and there's camaraderie and there's encouragement in the Word of God and there's knowing one another. It's about being a family. But there's also an opportunity, especially in this one, to bring a lost person with us so the church will come back together. Now, our church is made up of people like every local church. And some of our people have problems. I know, right? Hard to believe. There may be even somebody here, maybe one person today that has some problems, that has some challenges in their life, that has one or two things that maybe they're doing things their own way. Well, the church at Corinth had tons of problems. Lawsuits, jealousy, division, sexual immorality, marital discord, discontentment, you know, all of that. So God has the Apostle Paul write, not two letters. We're pretty sure it's three letters, but God preserved two of those letters for us. We're pretty sure there was a letter before 1 Corinthians because in 1 Corinthians it talks about, I wrote to you previously. So he's already written one letter. But God said, these two are scripture, these two are authoritative. I'm saving these two, preserving these two for my people. And guess what? 2,000 years later, we're still dealing with the same junk. Amen? Why? Because human nature, the fallen human nature, hasn't changed. Hasn't changed. So God wants us to know his will and his way in the mess. Right? He's saying, okay, this is you. You're my people. You're struggling. You've gone backwards in some ways. Here's how I want you to deal with it. Here's the way out. They were a mess, but God was in their midst, loving them, working in them. Messy people, merciful God. Thank God. Amen. This is where God is kind of like a mom, always cleaning up messes he didn't make. Right, moms? Always cleaning up messes he didn't make. Who made this mess? What am I made? Why do you leave that here? So moms, how about for Mother's Day, the church gets you a cleaning service once a week? Well, how about a full service, maybe like a maid? I mean everything, beds, small spills, laundry, kitchen dishes, oven, refrigerator, whatever needs to be done, keep the house clean and in order. What do you say, moms? That'd be cool, because usually we just get you a carnation, so maybe we need to bump it up this year. Barbara, you've only got Bob to take care of. I mean, can it be that bad? She's like, yes, yes, yes. You don't have to answer that out loud. But here's the deal with the maid service, ladies. We have to give them a key, not just to the front door. We have to give them a key to every room in the house. Full access. Same with Jesus. If we want him to make us over from the inside out, we can't hold back access. We can't hold back surrender or trusting obedience. Are you with me? We've got to say, here I am, Jesus. I am a mess at times. Man, I want to be clean. I want to live clean. You cleansed me when you saved me. Every time I come back to renewal, you cleanse me. But sometimes I make a mess again, and I just don't want to live in the mess for very long. You know, last week, Joe read in 1 Corinthians 6:11, Paul said, you used to be immoral, idolaters, adulterers, greedy, and so on. But you were washed. You were sanctified. You were justified in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. But they had gone backwards. We're going to read in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 12, so open there. I kind of hope you're tracking with me, man. We look back, we remembered our time of salvation. We remembered it with some lyrics from a song. It's just so beautiful, such a beautiful song. And then we remembered maybe a time of renewal. Maybe even it was very recent. The church at Corinth is going through the same thing. The Word of God is living and it's applicable to today. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 12. Open your Bibles, read with me. We don't put the scripture up on the screen because I want you in the Word of God. So we're going to read verses 12 all the way through verse 20. And listen as we read. There's a truth anchor in here. Verse 12. Everything is permissible for me, but not everything is beneficial. Everything is permissible for me, but I will not be mastered by anything. Food is for the stomach, and the stomach for food, but God will do away with both of them. However, the body is not for sexual immorality, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. God raised up the Lord and will also raise us up by his power. Don't you know that your bodies are a part of Christ's body? So should I take a part of Christ's body and make it a part of a prostitute? Absolutely not. Don't you know that anyone joined to a prostitute is one in body with her? For the scripture says the two will become one flesh. But anyone joined to the Lord is one with him in spirit. Flee sexual immorality. Every other sin a person commits is outside the body, but the person who is sexually immoral sins against his own body. Don't you know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God? You are not your own. You are bought at a price. So glorify God with your body. I want to say again, these people were Jesus' people. They were bought at a price, past tense. It was a done deal, right? Christ paid the price at the cross. And then at some point, all of us, different points in time, different places, God worked in our heart. The Holy Spirit convicted us of our sin and our need for a Savior. Convicted us. Said, you can't remember your sin. You can't earn your way out. Religion doesn't do it. It's about Jesus and what he did. You have to come to him and you have to ask him. You have to receive from him. The price he paid. Lord, would you forgive me? I believe you died for me so that I could be forgiven. I receive you as my Lord and Savior. I ask you to forgive me. I place all of my faith, all of my trust, all of my hope in you. And in that moment, we're born again. We got a brand new life. We become sons and daughters of the Lord Most High. We are born again. We become Jesus' people, washed, cleansed, set free. But they had gone backward. Right, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, I reference that verse 2, where God opens a letter through the Apostle Paul. He says, to the church of God at Corinth, to those sanctified in Christ Jesus, called as saints. What do you think of when you think of a saint? Don't you think of like somebody in a white robe and kind of like slightly glowing? Not true. Religion has so messed up the scriptures. You know, there are religion groups out there that like, oh, if you're a saint, you have to have done this, done so many miracles, lived this kind of a life, blah, blah, blah. And after you die, we decide that you're a saint. Well, that's kind of funny because that's not how God looks at it. I'd rather look at things the way God looks at it than the way that people look at it. Amen? God looks at it and he's writing to people who belong to him. They're still alive and he calls them saints, even though they're dealing with gluttony and immorality, getting drunk at the Lord's Supper, lawsuits, prostitution, greed. That's a few problems, amen? And he says, you are saints. So when you pass somebody in the hallway or in Walmart, you just say, St. Bob, good to see you. St. Michael, how are you today? You know, St. Kevin. I mean, if you're right in the midst of some bad, ugly thought, it might kind of knock you to your senses, amen? Might kind of go, wait, what did you just call me? Because I don't feel very much like a saint right now. These people got this letter. They weren't living like saints. They weren't acting like saints. But God said, you are saints. You are washed. You are cleansed. You're mine. So if you're a child of the King, but you're living like a pauper, you're still a child of the King. So stop living like a pauper. Amen? Get out of the pigsty. Start living the life that He created us to live. They were messed up, but they're His people, His treasure, His price. So here's, I said, listen for the anchor truth. Here it is right here, opting out. So I've got all kinds of, there's our main passage up there, and here's our anchor truth. You were bought at a price. If you want to write some things down to take home, this is our main passage. We're going to reference John 1, 11, and 12, 1 Peter 1, 18, Ephesians 2, 3, Titus 2, I know it's a lot. If you want some extended reading or some stuff to talk about more in your life group, you can just grab your smartphone if you want and grab a picture of that and you'll have it. Bought at a price. We originally sold ourselves to the lowest bidder. Amen? Not the highest bidder, the lowest bidder, Satan. And we did it, we thought, for our own benefit. Adam and Eve, right? We thought it was for our benefit. We were not forcibly made servants of self and Satan. We chose. We opted in, right? Satan's like, hey, tree of knowledge of good and evil. Will you really die? Oh, you won't die. Your eyes will be open. That was true. You'll have the knowledge of good and evil. That was true. You'll be like God. That was a lie. We opted in. And once in, we could not buy ourselves back out. But praise God, we had someone offer to buy us back. Amen? The very one we rebelled against, the very one we refused and said, no, we don't want to do it your way, God. We want to do it our way. We don't want you deciding what's good and right for us. We want to decide for ourselves. I want my eyes to be open. I want to be like God. Who else wanted to be like that? Satan. We entered right into the same sin he was in. Who are you to decide for me? Who are you to sit on the throne and rule over me? I want to rule over you. That was Satan's sin. That was our sin too. God, you're not going to tell me what to do. I'm going to eat the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. I'm going to decide what's right. You say, well, I wasn't there. I didn't do that. Well, do you know what right and wrong is? And do you ever choose wrong? It's the same sin. I will decide for myself what I want to do, regardless of what you tell me. I have rebelled against you. But we were bought at a price. Praise God, we had someone offer to buy us back. Dude, did you remember when you came? And maybe somebody's here today that hasn't actually been born again. Maybe they just thought they were a good person, and maybe they thought, I've done religion, and that's good enough, and my parents did this for me, and I did this for me, and the Bible doesn't say that anywhere, friends. It only talks about what Jesus did. For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him would not perish but have everlasting life. It's faith in Jesus. So we opted out of God's plan, but He gave us a chance to opt back in. Amen? And opt out of Satan's plan. John 1, 11, 12 says, He came to His own, and His own people did not receive Him, but to all who did receive Him, He gave them the right to become children of God, to those who believe in His name. God chose in mercy to give us a way to come back. Praise God. God offers a way to opt out. Do you ever sign up for something you didn't realize all that you were opting into, and then you start getting all these emails and blah, 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 and you're like, unsubscribe, but now your number is out there. It really is a good analogy of the spiritual life. You come to faith in Jesus, you opt into Jesus' plan, and He starts emailing. He gives you His word. He gives you His love. But you know what? There's that other stuff you were in before, and it keeps emailing you too. Amen? And you have to keep unsubscribing. I don't want to receive this anymore. We were bought at a price. What else does that tell us? I want to encourage you for a moment. We're talking about the food for the body and the body for food. God's going to do away with that. We're talking about sexual immorality. The church at Corinth dealt with gluttony. It dealt with sexual immorality. Specifically here, it talks about prostitution. But the anchor, the delivering truth is this. We were bought at a price. And what does that mean? That means Jesus loves you, wants you, desires you, came after you. Even though he knows your lies, my lies, every one of them. He knows our greed. He sees it. He knows our immorality. He sees it. He sees our selfish manipulating. He sees it. He sees our anger. He sees our pride. He sees our mistreatment of others. He sees it all. And he loves us. Junk and all, he loves us. Man, even the things that the Lord sees that sometimes we refuse to acknowledge is sin, he sees it and he loves us still. 1 Peter 1:18 says, he redeems us from our way of life, which was empty. Titus 2:14 says, we were lawless. Ephesians 2:3 says, we all gratified the cravings of our sinful nature and followed its desires and thoughts like the rest. We were by nature objects of wrath. But God, right, who is rich in mercy, he came after us. He loved me enough to come after me. And he still does. Isn't that amazing? Jesus loves you. Jesus paid for you. We were bought at a price. Titus 2:14, he gave himself for us to redeem us from all lawlessness and to cleanse for himself a people for his own possession, eager to do good works. Jesus paid for you. Just yesterday, I was in my quiet time and my boys were up, and it was kind of cool because I asked one of my sons, I'm like, where are you reading? And he was like, within a chapter of where I was reading. I didn't know he was even in the same book in the Bible, let alone in the same chapter. And I realized, I said, you know what? I should be exactly in the chapter you're in, but I'm not. Because I was having my quiet time the day before, and I was reading, and we were at the end of Matthew, and I came up on the crucifixion, and I couldn't read it. It's not that I couldn't read it. It's that I didn't read it. Do you ever have those moments where you're like, you're in your quiet time and it's about the crucifixion, but you're struggling with something and you're like, that is so deep, right? I don't even feel like I can go there. Are you with me? It's kind of like, maybe some of you saw The Passion of the Christ. I've watched it a couple of times, but I really have to prepare myself to watch it because it's so moving. It's so heart-wrenching. It's so challenging. It's so convicting. But I need to visit it pretty often, the price that he paid for me. I need to be reminded. 1 Peter 1:18 says, we were redeemed from our empty way of life, inherited from our fathers, not with perishable things like silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, like that of an unblemished and spotless lamb. Hebrews 9:12 says, he entered the most holy place once for all time, not by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, having obtained eternal redemption. We were bought at a price. Jesus loved us. Jesus paid for us. And therefore, we are not our own. We belong to him. Belong to someone. We're in a covenant relationship. To be in a covenant relationship is to unite ourselves with them, to become one with them. It's not just own like property. It's more like a part of him. I mean, the Bible calls us the bride of Christ. When we talk about a husband and wife, it says when they're married, the two become what? One, they're joined to one another. What God has joined together, let not man put asunder, right? We enter into this covenant relationship. We belong in the fullest sense of the word, one to the other and the other to the other. It's marriage brilliant. That's what, you know, that's what it is to belong to Jesus. It's marriage brilliant. Marriage in our lives is kind of a dim, cracked mirror. It is a reflection of being fully his. But to be fully his is like marriage in all its brilliance. He fully loves us. Fully loves us, and we're fully known and loved by him. We belong to him. We become a part of him, the bride of Christ. As a matter of fact, he calls his church the body of Christ. Right? The body of Christ. When Paul was persecuting the church, he said, "You're persecuting me." So you see where we're going here in this whole thing about even like it gets into it in prostitution. What you do with your body, you don't just do to yourself. You know, we can say, well, nobody else knows about this or that. It's not affecting anybody else. No, you're one with Christ. Everything we join ourselves to in life, we bring him into as well. That's pretty convicting. Amen? Are you with me? It's okay. It's okay to say, oh me. Wow. We're not our own. We belong to him. As a matter of fact, he goes on to say, you're the temple of the Holy Spirit. I'm not dwelling on the outside. I'm dwelling in you. He is literally adored in us, right? That's why they went to the temple, to worship God, to adore God, and to offer sacrifices to him. This is not the temple. We call it the sanctuary. It's not the sanctuary. This is just a building. The sanctuary is right here. Now, when we come together as a body of believers, do I believe the Holy Spirit visits that in a special way? Sure, it's like any family reunion, you know, where relationships are whole and right. It's a gathering of that family that's joined together that has a similar identity. And we have a celebration of togetherness. But individually, we're a temple of the Holy Spirit. Collectively, the church is a temple of the Holy Spirit. I have to say, some days in my life, it's not much of a throne room. Some days I think, why would he even want to be here? That's what I think and that's what I feel. But you know what? My feelings don't dictate what's true. Jesus doesn't say, hey, if you get into gluttony or into prostitution, it's okay because I just step away during those times. No, he says, I'm still right there with you. That's tough. You're mine. You're my temple. That's a truth that outshines our sin. So we need to come in line with the truth, and we need to honor him with our body. And that really is the challenge here. He's like, honor me with your body. He talks about food and sexual immorality. Food and sexual immorality. I don't know if you saw what happened, but it starts out talking the, you know, food for the body and the body for food. God's going to do away with that. And then it goes into sexual immorality. So it ties two sins that sometimes people might look at and go, well, if it's with a prostitute, it's not really affecting anybody else. Sure. Sure it is. Whether you're married or not. Right? He doesn't even talk about that this could be adultery. He just talks about when you're in a sexual relationship with somebody outside of marriage, when you're in that immorality, it affects your relationship with Christ and affects Christ. And even gluttony, you may say, well, overeating is just a sin against my own body. No, it's a sin against the Lord. Listen, God did design us to enjoy many pleasures. Amen? Nothing wrong with food. Nothing wrong with human sexuality. God created us for both of those things. To deny pleasure and enjoyment continually is sin. You know, some people are like, yeah, well, I'm just not going to, you know, I'm going to eat, you know, whatever these monks or whoever, you know, they go on these things and they're just going to eat whatever. I'm trying to think of something, millet, I don't know what, you know, some seed and, you know, drink just water and I'm not going to have any enjoyment. That would be to deny part of God's creation purpose. You know, he wants you to worship him when you have a good meal. Man, thank you for this, Lord. This is so good. Are you amazed by God's creation? I am. That you drop a seed in the dirt, put some water with it, a little sun, and you've got a Macintosh apple. How did that happen? Right? That you bite it crisp and juicy and sweet. I don't know if you love a good apple. I do. You know, it's like, how? And then the same dirt, and here's an orange or a mango. Man, I love mangoes. It's like, oh, so when somebody grows. It's kind of slimy, I know, but I don't know what you like. But I mean, right out of the dirt. And not only is it good for you, it tastes good to you. It's pleasurable. And you know, when you enjoy it, there's certain, when you eat, do you know there are endorphins that are released? Things that say, hey, we enjoy this. This is good and I feel good. Now, not everybody is really heavily tempted by food, but it's funny because we were praying before the service. Somebody probably hadn't even read the passage. The worship team was praying before the service together. Actually, it was before we even started praying, and somebody talked about red velvet cake. They said, I just can't eat it because when my mom makes red velvet cake, he said, I can't eat just a piece. I'll eat till the whole thing's gone. I just don't have self-control in that area of my life when it comes to that particular thing. right? Struggles. Because there's these endorphins that are released. It tastes good. It is, and it feels good. Same thing with sexual sin. Guess what? These body sins, man. There's a reason that we love these things. There's a reason, and you can apply this to anything, friends. Anything that's out of control, right? It says, everything is permissible for me, but not everything is beneficial, right? Everything's permissible, but I will not be what? Mastered by any. And that includes Facebook. There are people that get on Facebook and can't do a little bit and get off because there's something that's released and they're just going to do it, or Netflix binge watching or whatever. And in the end, does it satisfy? No, you're driven to when the next time you can get back to it is. And so some people have literally in our church said, I've got to fast from, or we actually were having a time of fasting. And I remember one person that elected to fast from Facebook, and that's when they realized they were addicted to it. Gluttony, sexual immorality. Probably some of the lawsuits were over people who were addicted to money and felt like they had been wrong and didn't get the deal they or benefit that they wanted, and so they're going to law against one another. We don't deny pleasure. We are to delight to pleasure ourselves in Him more than anything else, and to make sure that everything else stays in right boundaries. We are to please Him and to please other. We're never to allow the feelings that come from the pleasure to rule us. We are to rule them, master them. Won't be mastered by it, have to master it. Man, that goes all the way back to Cain and Abel. You know, sin's crouching at the door, he told Cain. But you have to what? Master it. Because of our relationship with the living God, because we have the power of the Holy Spirit in us, we can rule over the desires of our body. We can say no. Sexual immorality. God says that immorality is not just a sin against God, not just a sin against a prostitute. It's a sin against self. He says you sin against your own body. In that process of becoming one, it knits not just two bodies together, but two souls. It's not just physical, it's spiritual, it's emotional, and it's mental. It's a complete bonding that's sacred to God and saved for sacred marriage, and the only mirror image of that is our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. And let me just encourage you, if you're battling these two specific things, we talk about gluttony or sexual sin, you're not alone. Actually, you're probably in a majority. I mean, some may be mastering and doing better right now. Some may be doing worse. But the reality is we don't have to lose the fight. There is help with Jesus. We have the power of the Holy Spirit. We have the power of prayer. And friends, we have the body of Christ. In James chapter 5, it talks about confessing our sins to one another, not for forgiveness. I don't have this in the notes, but maybe somebody needs to hear it. We confess our sin to God for forgiveness. Unless we've sinned against somebody, then we need to confess that sin to them and ask them to forgive us. But it says, confess your sins to one another that you may be healed. Because sometimes we need Jesus with skin and bones, you know. Sometimes we need a brother or sister in Christ that we can confess and say, man, I'm really struggling in this area of my life. Would you pray with me? Would you link arms with me? We are not an army of one. We're an army together. Would you pray for me? Would you intercede for me that I'll overcome in this area of my life? Would you hold me accountable? I want to be free. I've been told that I'm not to be mastered by anything. If there are two things in our society, our American churches, that are out of God's blessed bounds, it's food and sexuality. The proverb says there's a way that seems right to man, but the end is death. There's also a way that's right before the Lord in both of these. The rest of 1 Corinthians and the scriptures tell us to glorify the Lord in everything. It's our food, it's our sexuality, it's our work, it's our sleep, it's the words from our mouth, it's the sacrifice of serving and the sacrifice of giving. It's the very attitude of our hearts in everything. He gave everything to buy us back, and now we are to give Him everything. We were bought at a price. He loves us. He paid for us. We belong to Him. We're now the temple of the Holy Spirit. And when we give Him everything, we find that we really live. It's all about honoring God by doing things His way and not ours. And God is all about blessing us when we honor Him. We choose into sin, but by the grace of God, we can choose to opt out. Amen? Not just at the point of salvation. Not just at the point of salvation. And maybe you've opted into something and you realize, hey, I've got something in my life. Maybe these two things. Maybe something else. And it's begun to rule over me. But God didn't save me to live there. That's living in bondage to that thing that keeps saying, you have to have me. But God's saying, no, I don't have to have that. I have to have him. And God's telling you, I'm going to provide a way out for you. I will make a way out for you. We're going to come to it, 1 Corinthians. We're going to come to it where it talks about, in 10, no temptation is overtaking you, but that which is common to man. But God will provide a means of escape that you will be able to bear up under it. There's a trap door, as a friend of mine said, and there's an escape door. You know, there's a trap door, and there's an escape door, right? The sin's always pulling us into the trap. God's saying, hey, I'm going to provide a way out every single time you're tempted. Whether it's prayer or phone a friend, hey, would you pray for me? What I was talking to you about 2 weeks ago, I'm really struggling right now. We can opt out. Opting out doesn't mean that we won't get solicited internally and externally. Just like sales calls or unsubscribing from mailing lists, they somehow seem to find us again. Amen? Right? If you press one to be put on our do not call list, you know what that really does? That forwards your email to five other robocall companies. That's what it does, your phone number, you know? And you seem to get more rather than less. So it doesn't mean we're not going to be solicited internally or externally when we say, I'm opting out of that. I'm not going to do that anymore. The enemy knows us. He manipulates the world system. Then there's our own flesh. It's the unholy trinity. It's what I call it. It's a web. The temptations pop up in our hearts or on our cell phones or in our emails or on our Facebook. Everything's permissible, but everything's not beneficial. We have liberty in Christ. Everything's permissible for me, but not everything is beneficial. Everything's permissible for me, but I will not be mastered by anything. That includes gossip, critical thinking, negative thoughts, discontent. Christ didn't create us for that. I love the lyrics from this song. I've quoted a couple of times lately. It's a song from for King and Country, Burn the Ships. We've got to burn the ships, cut the ties, send a flare into the night, say a prayer, and turn the tide. Dry your tears and wave goodbye and step into a new day. We can rise up from the dust and walk away. We can dance upon our heartache. Yes, light a match, leave the past, burn the ships, don't look back. Did you grab your prayer card for a moment? Just get your prayer card in your hand. And I want to give you an opportunity right now to just reflect for a second. And maybe there's something in your life that you're saying, hey, I'd like you to pray with me about this particular thing. I'd be glad to pray with you. Man, I'd love to be an accountability partner for everybody in the church. Can't do it, you know. Got to have my own, you know. But God can help you connect with somebody. A lot of times it happens through our life groups. You get to know some people, get a little bit closer. You realize, hey, I can trust this person. Man, I need a friend. I need an alongsider. Men with men, women with women, would you pray with me about this? But maybe just a one-time thing, you know, you would say, hey, you know, this touched something in my life that I struggle with. It may not be these two things, or it may be one of those things. Sometimes people are like, I've had people come to my office and say, I need to talk to you about this, but I really struggle with doing it because I don't think you'll like me anymore. Man, I'm getting emotional thinking about that because I think, are you kidding me right now? Really? Probably you can't list many things that I haven't been a part of myself in my life where I've sinned or struggled with it, or maybe struggle with it right now, and you just don't know. Because the enemy likes to keep us in the dark rather than in the light. But man, when we come into the light and people share and they're like, I've struggled with this or I did this. Oh man, me too. Can I pray with you? Let's just get together on our knees right at the foot of the cross. Let the blood of Jesus just cover that sin and cleanse us. And let's refuse the lies of the enemy that that's who we are, that that has forever stamped us. No, the Bible says, and such were some of you, but you were washed, you were cleansed. Now they had gone back, but you know what? They can go forward again. That's why God's writing them the letter, and that's why he's writing it to us. We don't have to stay there, and he doesn't want us to. The one who loves us more than life itself is saying, hey, come with me, burn the ships. Send a flare into the night. There's a new day dawning. And you may say, well, I'm not at a place that I can ask you to pray with me specifically about that. That's okay, man. Let the Holy Spirit lead you what to put on your prayer card. Maybe just say, pray for me. Pray for my family. Pray for a friend that struggles with some of these things. Pray for me because I'm an accountability partner with somebody and I'm whatever. I just want to pray for you. So if you would stand with me, you can have your prayer card in your hand or stay seated if you need a few more minutes to write. And so the band's going to start playing. You're going to start singing. That doesn't mean you need to sing because you may be reflecting and writing still. You may want to come. You may want to pray with me about something. I'll be available here in the front to pray with you. A couple of minutes into this song, the ushers are going to start from the back and we'll begin to worship in a time of offering. You can drop your prayer card in. If you're part of the church family, drop in your financial offering. If you're visiting with us, we don't ask you to give anything financially, just your prayer card. Just want to pray for you. But if it's your home church, you give financially as the Holy Spirit leads you. I just want to pray as we go into this time of worship. Father God, as we bow before you, man, I'm just moved in my heart to thank you over and over and over again for the blood of Jesus. That when we come to you, when we kneel at the cross, your mercies are new every morning. You knew we would need that. We need that statement from you. We need to know how much you love us, because sometimes we look at ourselves and we feel so unlovable. Man, thank you, God, that you don't love like we love. Somebody lets us down or hurts us, we have a hard time putting ourselves back out there. But you don't. Man, we rejected you, and you put yourself out there for us. You pursued us in love, and you never stopped pursuing us. Thank you that your mercies are new every morning. Well, and help us to learn to love like you love, Jesus. Not for our benefit, but for the benefit of the other. Lord, renew our hearts and our lives and our faith and our trust in you and our hope. And renew us in the battle that we wouldn't give in and we wouldn't quit. And we wouldn't succumb to the lies of the enemy that would keep us down instead of up and living with you. Amen.